Beautiful way to begin our time of worship this day. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this first Sunday in September. We're thankful that you've decided to gather with us here at this, in the sanctuary, or those that are gathering online this morning. May we lift praise to our Savior and our Lord this day. If you're a first-time guest with us today, welcome. Thank you for joining us. I encourage you to fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you, and you can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching online this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us. You can always go to our website also at www.fbc-elon.org and there pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for this time of worship and for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer, thank you for finding us and send me an email. Let me follow up with you this week and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. I'm excited today because from what the weather says, it's going to rain this morning, but it's going to be clear this afternoon and this evening. And I'm thankful for that because, of course, this afternoon we have our fourth annual community cookout block party. Remember the schedule. At 3 o'clock, we're going to gather to set up tables and chairs and everything else like that. 4 p.m., we'll be walking around the community and spreading word about the cookout. Gay and I had a chance to walk around the community on Thursday, had a chance to speak to quite a few college folks, and look forward to them coming, but want to invite everybody. So we'll go around at 4 o'clock today, and then, of course, at 5 p.m. is the cookout. That is a time to fellowship and to gather with our neighbors here at First Baptist, and I encourage you to come. You might say, well, I can't set up chairs, or I can't walk around the neighborhood. Yes, but you can sit and eat food, because I've seen you do it, and I know you'll do it well. So please come out at 5 o'clock. So 5 to 7 is our time of cookout, and be a part of that. Now, part of the things that we're going to do is we're also going to be lifting up prayer and interacting with the college students that come. I am personally going to be wearing the following t-shirt. Looks good, right? Looks good, right?
Okay. I can't say it.
Everybody like it, right? Well, guess what? I've got 5 more in my office that I will share with you after this worship service today that you can wear with me this afternoon. Or if that's a little too much, we also have buttons that says, how can I pray for you? So I want to encourage you to take one of these if you're willing to pray for our college students this afternoon. But again, this afternoon, I hope everybody will come and enjoy that time of fellowship with our neighbors. As you look at your ministry reminders for this week, reminder that Tuesday we do have our ministry at the Golden Year Senior Center. That's at 1:30 p.m. If you want to go, you can talk to Sandy French, who kind of heads that up. Wednesday, of course, is choir rehearsal at 6:30 p.m. Our senior adults are planning a fun and fellowship trip coming up to Duke Chapel and to Bulls Barbecue in Durham. If you'd like to go on that trip, you can sign up in the foyer or in Sunday school classrooms and enjoy that time of fellowship with our senior adults. That date is September 23rd, and the group will be leaving at 9 a.m. that morning. So if you want to go, make sure you sign up and make sure we have enough seats on the bus for that trip. Of course, during the month of September, I shared last week that we're collecting monetary donations for Allied Churches to support them and their ministry. If you want to support Allied Churches, you can simply drop off those donations in the offering plate, but make sure you designate on that envelope that it is for Allied Churches. And then I want to remind you that next Sunday is our getting started back to our normal activities on Sunday afternoon. We'll be having a new adult Bible study that starts next Sunday at 5 p.m. Church Council meets at 4, and then the Bible study will be at 5 next Sunday. It'll be upstairs in the Fellowship Hall, and the name of the study is called Hidden, Finding Delight in Your Life in Christ. This is by Allison Allen, and she challenges us to move beyond the pressure to be people pleasers and to be performance based and to be recognized. Instead, we find our value in Christ. This will be a 6-week video study. I hope you'll join me on Sunday afternoons for this study. I encourage you, if you're going to be a part of this, to purchase the study guide. And the study guide can be found on Amazon. It can be found in Cokesbury. You can order it in lots of different places, so you can place that order for that. Many other things going on in the life of our church you see in your bulletin. You also will see in our September newsletter. But it's good to gather in the house today. It's good to gather and worship on this special day. May we lift praise to the one who has called each of us here and the one who has called us, each one of us. Let's worship today.
Our opening hymn this morning is I Will Sing of My Redeemer. Let's stand and worship together.
Oh,
Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18 this morning. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Isn't that a wonderful, powerful promise that when we experience God, when we recognize that He is our Creator, that we're in His presence constantly. He loves us constantly. Let us pray to Him this day. All-knowing God, we gather together with praise and thanksgiving for who You are and for all that You have done for us. You know us better than we know ourselves, all our thoughts and our actions, and yet You love us. No matter where we go or what we do, Your love encircles us ahead and behind, gently leading and guiding and blessing. We praise You for Your love and Your faithful presence in our lives. May Your Spirit move in our hearts and our minds to worship together, examine our attitudes and our actions, lay bare the things we need to confess, challenge us with Your Word, and guide us on to paths that lead to life. For we are Your people, called by Your name. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is one we all probably know by heart, How Great Thou Art. Let's stand.
Come, Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
the honor to introduce and welcome our deacon body for the 2025-2026 church year. They have already begun their ministry to the body of Christ here at First Baptist Helon, and we are excited to see how they will lead, how they will serve and honor our Lord and Savior this year. Now, at this time, as I call your name, deacons, I encourage you to come forward, and you'll just stand right in front of the altar here, facing out to the congregation. So please come as I call your name. First, our deacon chair for this year, Phil Thompson. Second, our vice chair this year, Susan Reinhardt. Next, Brian Carroll. Mike Harrington, Paula Harrison, John Hines, Earlene Mann, Debbie Morgan, and John Russell. Church family, these are the men and women who have been called to serve the body of Christ here at First Baptist. They are here for you, praying for you and serving Christ as they serve the body. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have ideas, seek them out. Share those with our deacons. They will be in contact with you in the coming days because each of you has been assigned to one of our deacons in our deacon family ministry. Please pray for them. Now, deacons, I want to encourage you at this time to just look at the body of Christ that you've been called to serve. Look at the faces. I know you know the names, and I know you know what you're called to do. Your call is to pray for them. Your call is to share with them. Your call is to serve them. At this time, I want to have a prayer for our deacons this year. Deacons, if you would, join hands as you stand out front this morning. And congregation, would you please join me in praying for our deacon body this year? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with gratitude for our deacons who faithfully serve your church. We ask for your abundant blessings upon them. Grant them wisdom, Lord, to discern your will and make sound decisions that align with your word. May they be guided by your Spirit in all their actions, leading by example and demonstrating integrity and humility. As they carry out their responsibilities this year, may you grant them physical, emotional, and spiritual strength. Strengthen their faith that they may not grow weary in serving you and serving your people. Help them persevere through challenges and grant them endurance to run the race with steadfastness and grace. We pray that you would continue to mold them into the faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Grant them discerning hearts so they may lead your people in righteousness and make decisions that honor you. May their lives be a testament to your love and your grace. May they always remember that their roles are not about power or about status, but about serving your people selflessly. Help them to imitate Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Amen. Deacons, your church family will continue to keep you in their prayers in the coming days. Thank you for answering God's call to serve this year. You may be seated. At this time, I'll call on Deacon John Hines for our offertory prayer.
We pray. Tender and knowing God, you have searched us and known us, every thought, every fear, every hope that stirs within us. You wove us together with care, claiming us before we could speak your name. Receive these gifts offered not from perfection, but from hearts seeking you. Use them to shape a world more reflective of your love and shape us, too, into a people more open, more generous, more faithful. May our giving become a response to your knowing and our generosity a reflection of your grace. In the name of the one who knows us still. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. If you would, join with me in prayer one more time before we encounter God's word this morning. Oh Lord, you have searched us and you know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. You discern our thoughts from afar. You see us when we walk or lie down. You know every detail of our conduct, even before a word is on our tongues. Oh Lord, you know us completely. So examine us and know our hearts, oh God. Test us and know our thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in us and lead us in the way that leads to eternal life. This is the prayer of your people this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this first Sunday in September. This is a special Sunday. This morning we have honored our deacons with prayer, and now we turn our attention to the newest of deacons who have been called to serve the body of Christ. Today we celebrate and ordain one who has answered the call to serve the body, and that is Debbie Morgan. The word deacon means servant. Nothing fancy, nothing extraordinary. A deacon is a servant. Now, believe it or not, that simple definition can lead to some confusion in the church. Because when a group of people call someone to be their servant, they begin to take the attitude that, well, that servant serves, the group can just sit and be served. And that's wrong. Time and time again, Scripture points out that every believer is a minister and has a job or two to do. Some churches have even done away with the idea of deacons because they understand that everyone is called to serve in some capacity. So the questions that we ask today are these. Why have a special title for these servants? And what makes them deacons, and what makes a deacon special? All of us are called to be servants. Those who are called to be deacons are not held to a higher standard than the rest of us, for all of us are held to the standard of Jesus Christ and his righteousness and holiness. And that's what we're all called to do. Deacons are not held to a higher standard, but they are placing themselves in a position of higher responsibility and accountability before God. Deacons, the expectations on you are high, for as you each know, more is going to be required of you. Often when a pastor preaches an ordination message for new deacons, they use the text of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and go over the qualifications of deacons. Now, there's a problem with this passage, however, because in that passage, those qualifications are a list for the church to choose deacons. That's the list that the church should look at when they're seeking to reach out and find deacons for the next year. Our deacons for this year have already been chosen. Debbie has already answered that call. Being that you, Debbie, and all our other deacons have already been chosen, it's a little too late to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. No, the benefit for you is to know that our church, First Baptist Church of Elon, sees those qualities in you. I'm not going to ask you to strive to match the qualities of 1 Timothy chapter 3, but to continue to demonstrate those qualities in your day-to-day walk with him and for him. Today, let's look at a little bit different set of qualifications. One that are really not qualifications at all. They're really characteristics. They're characteristics of not just a deacon, but they're characteristics of a servant. And we're all called to serve. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 this morning. There are pew Bibles in your pew if you'd like to turn there. The words will also be displayed on the worship screens behind me. And if you have your Bibles as you turn, flip to this very important chapter in Acts. This is the birth of the deacon. As we examine this passage this morning, let's ask this. Why were these individuals, these servants, these deacons chosen? And to follow that question, what characteristics do these servants possess? Reading Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'm actually going to read all the way through verse 7. 5, 6, and 7 will not be on the screen today. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Why were these deacons chosen? These individuals were chosen because there were complaints in the church. There was trouble in the church. Can you imagine that? There's trouble in churches. It sounds like something straight out of today, right? If we had perfect churches, if we had perfect people, guess what? We would not need deacons. Deacons were called because there was a problem. They were called to do a specific task. They were not just called and then fits a job and was given later to them. There was a problem then. A problem arose, the people saw it, and the deacons were appointed. And that's why deacons exist. Let me share a personal story about Debbie Morgan. Now, I didn't tell her I was going to do this morning, so I just saw her look in her eyes like, "Oh my goodness, what is he going to say?" When Debbie started visiting our church a few years ago, I had a chance to speak with her during her, what I like to call the visiting time. Debbie was looking for a church home. She came on a regular basis. She shared with me that she was going to other churches as well. And as she came and left every Sunday morning, I would say, "It's so great to see you. I hope you had a wonderful time in our worship today. And I hope that I will see you again." And always with a smile, because we know Debbie likes a smile. Always with a smile, Debbie said, "Oh, you will. You will." After visiting for some time, Debbie shared with me that our church family felt like her family, a place that she would like to be a part of our ministry. But as soon as Debbie joined the church, she immediately found somewhere to serve. It wasn't that she just joined the church and continued to sit in the pews out just on Sunday morning. Because all of a sudden, her seat right back there turned to right here.
Amen.
She turned and joined the choir. She began to get involved and to serve in other ways. It began in the choir loft. It began in other aspects of worship. But it did not stop there. Following some time, participation in Sunday school led to assistant teaching in the new beginners Sunday school class. And then came service through Chris Mon Ministry, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You see, the list goes on and on. And Debbie embodied that aspect of, she saw things that needed to be done, and she felt that she could serve. It's a little bit like last Sunday, when I talked about the MBA, the mop bucket attitude, and Debbie has that. She joined our family to be involved in service. So why were these deacons chosen? Why were our deacons chosen? Why was Debbie chosen this year? They were chosen because they possessed what I would like to call 3 important characteristics that not just the deacons have, but that all servants have. And they're found here in Acts chapter 6. Now, the first characteristic, if you read it in the NIV, you're going to kind of jump over it because it doesn't really sound like one, but if you read it in multiple translations, you will see that the very first things it says about the people that were identified to serve the church, to solve this problem, to be deacons, is that they were said to be in good repute. I think it's better to say it this way. The first characteristic of a deacon or servant is having a good reputation. Deacons must have a good name. The best thing that a person can have is a respected name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. A favor is better than silver or gold. This is backwards from what society teaches us. Culture tells us that we are to work hard to provide all the great luxuries for our family. Culture teaches us that our children should have more than we have when we grew up. We hear statements such as, the ends justify the means. However, the Bible teaches us to work hard to make a good name and not to worry about the other things. Now, humans are supposed to strive to be great. Now, can you believe you heard that from the pulpit? This is, if you want to take something on, you're called to be great. God created you to be great. Humans are supposed to strive to be great. There's nothing unchristian about greatness. For years, the church has been so worried that people might become so proud that they have kind of beaten that idea down into submission. No more. When the disciples were trying to figure out who was the greatest, remember the disciples asking Jesus that? Jesus did not put them down for trying to be great. He reframed what greatness looks like. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Jesus says, go and be great, but do it my way. Do it God's way. Not just Debbie, but all of us this morning must remember, Jesus is my master. I will work to make a great name. I will strive to be great, but I'll do it God's way. Not culture's way. But that's just the first characteristic. The second characteristic of a deacon or servant is that they are filled with the Spirit. Why were the deacons chosen? There was a problem. These individuals were chosen for a purpose. These individuals were filled with the Holy Spirit. This characteristic is pretty hard to understand until you experience it. Do you know how you become filled with the Holy Spirit? You don't have to sing as loud as you can. You don't have to attend worship services every Sunday and never miss a moment. You don't have to walk in these doors every time they're open. No, the way that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is you ask. You ask. It's that simple. Luke 11 tells us that God wants to give the Spirit as a good gift for those who ask. We need to ask to be filled with the Spirit each and every day. God is excited about giving you the Spirit. Just as we are excited to give Christmas presents in December, God loves to give His children this gift. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. Now remember, God does not fill a dirty cup, though. Part of asking for the Spirit is asking God to clean the vessel, to clean the cup that is going to be holding it, and that is you and me. You do not pour a fresh drink into a dirty goblet. Instead, you pour it in the finest vessel that is clean. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ask Him to cleanse you, then ask Him to fill you with the Spirit. You cannot do the work alone. You are called to do if you do not have the power of the Spirit. Debbie, you can't do the work alone without the Spirit. And you can't do the work alone without those other individuals that were standing up with you just a few moments ago. We have to demonstrate grace in doing and serving in the Spirit. And unfortunately, just like those first deacons, sometimes we have to deal with problems. It happens. It's amazing how that happens. I have a sign in my office that says, no whining. If you walk in my office and spend some time in my office, you'll see it. It's behind the door. I don't put it as the very first thing you see. That would be very un-pastor-like. But the more you spend in my office, you see it. It's there for a reason. Because we are an imperfect body. But we serve a perfect God. And that's what we strive for. And that's your job, is to help us get there. Not just yours, but everybody who sits there. And that leads us to our third and final characteristic this morning. The third characteristic of a deacon or servant is that they are filled with wisdom. Now, we have all heard since we were little that wisdom comes with age. If wisdom comes with age, though, how can someone be wise beyond their years? Think about that for a second. If you get wisdom from years, how can you have more wisdom than the years you've been alive? Just doesn't make sense. You can't. And wisdom does not necessarily come with age. Proverbs 9:10 tells us the origin of this wisdom that we talk about this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. As you learn more and more about who God is and who you are, you will learn what it means to fear the Lord. God loves his children, and he disciplines his children. We should fear that discipline because it's never quite pleasant. But as he does, you are filled with the Spirit. You will gain his wisdom as he shows you who he is and who you are called to be. He will teach you to take kind of Isaiah's attitude. When confronted by God, Isaiah said this, woe is me, I am a person of unclean lips. But then Isaiah said, send me. There's a proverb that speaks to every deacon, every servant. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. That's the badge that you hold as a deacon. To each of our deacons this morning, to Debbie as she answers the call to be a deacon, to be ordained, to all servants, remember these simple truths. Jesus tells us the Spirit will be our teacher. As he teaches us and we grow in wisdom through the fear of the Lord, we recognize that we receive honor and a good name through humility. Seek to be the answer to a problem. Go forward to complete the task that he's given you. Work to keep a good reputation, a great name through humble service. Be filled with the Spirit that has enabled you to work. And let the fear of the Lord be your guide. This morning, as I've already shared, our church has a great honor to ordain, to set aside another to be a servant to the body of Christ. For centuries, women have had a profound impact on history, society, and the church. And although tradition, experience, and practice have often excluded women in light of certain passages often attributed to Paul, Paul actually commended women who served as leaders in the church and often relied on them to continue what he had started after he left. Our history proclaims Deborah, Esther, Huldah, Phoebe, Lydia, just to name a few, as leaders of faith, leaders in the church. One of the earliest writings about baptism comes from the 3rd century document called the Didascalia. Sorry, I can't speak this morning. And it said this, as people were baptized and after they came up from the water, they were received and taught by the women deacons in the church. Debbie, you put yourself in line with those same names. Deborah, you put your name in line with Phoebe and Lydia. You put your name in line with the other deacons that were standing right here. But know that God has called you. He's prepared you, and you've answered that call. This morning, we're excited to ordain you. here at First Baptist Eli. If you would, David, would you please stand up and come and stand before the altar this morning? David, this morning I have a charge for you. And if you accept this charge, all you have to simply say is, I do. The office of deacon is generally considered to have originated in the election of the seven helpers to the apostles as recorded in Acts chapter 6. The term deacon in the New Testament means servant, and the servant demonstrates that leadership by example. Ordination means the act of election or appointing to a duty. We come now to ordain you, Debbie Morgan, to the duty of deacon here at First Baptist Church of Elon. And we encourage you to continue to strive to be a faithful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Debbie, do you promise to strive to live your life that you may honor Christ? And do you promise in the presence of God and this body of believers today to accept the responsibilities of deacon in this church and to the best of your ability to put your faith to work as a servant of Jesus Christ? Let me pray for you. Everlasting Creator, in humble devotion, we approach you, seeking your guidance and blessings as our beloved sister in Christ, Debbie Morgan, takes her first steps as an ordained deacon. Inspired by your word in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, we pray that she will give her attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. May she be steadfast in her faith, always eager to serve and care for your flock with unwavering dedication. We ask for your guidance as she endeavors to embark on this sacred journey. Bestow upon her unwavering faith, resilience in times of difficulty and doubt, and an all-consuming love for your divine teachings. Illuminate her path with your heavenly light so that through her service, she may in turn inspire others to seek and embrace your boundless grace. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. This morning, however, we have a charge to the church. It's not just your responsibility, but they have a charge as well. So, congregation, will you listen to this? Do you, the members of First Baptist Church of Elon, acknowledge Debbie Morgan as a deacon in this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for her in her ministry and to cooperate with her in the fulfillment of the mission of this church? If you do, will you please rise at this time if you're able? Debbie, I want to invite you to turn around. These are the individuals that you've been called to serve, but these are also the individuals that promise to lift you up in prayer, to walk beside you, to support you in your ministry as deacon. You may be seated, congregation. Then I'm going to invite you to take a seat in the chair right beside you. For centuries, the church has practiced the act of laying on of hands during ordination. This simple, humble act to provide encouragement and love for the ordination candidate is something that I think it marks this journey, this call. However, this act is also just a simple way to say thank you for being willing to serve our church family. This morning, we continue the practice with Debbie Morgan. For the laying on of hands this morning, everyone is invited to come if you feel led. First, the church staff will come, followed by our ordained deacons here at First Baptist, and then anyone who would like to come and speak a word of encouragement to Debbie is welcome to come. All I ask is this, is that you will enter from the organ side and then depart from the piano side. Be in prayer for Debbie. If you speak calmly, you say, I can't think of anything to say, just say, we love you and thank you for answering this call. And I'll pray for you. It's simple as that. Now, let us practice this century-old tradition of laying on of hands.
those who want to come, now's the time.
File away those comments, those words of encouragement when you're dealing with the problems that are happening. Because they're going to happen. And there are going to be times when you're going to say to yourself, why did I say yes? Why did I do this? Hold on to those words from the church body, the thing that's called. This morning, I also want to present you two things. I want to present you a certificate of your ordination, something you can hold on, hang on your wall, wherever you can see it, and see it on a regular basis. More important, I want to present to you this, a simple towel. It's a towel that reminds you of what you're called to do. That is to serve. Christ used the towel as a reminder of how he served the body. He served the world. You're called to do the exact same thing. God bless you. We're praying for you. Be seated up right now. This morning, as we close out our worship services, we sing our closing hymn. Maybe something that you saw today, experienced today, has encouraged you or challenged you to embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. I would now come and let me embrace you as a brother in Christ. Or maybe today you're seeking to join a church family that seeks to serve, that seeks to love their family and serve the bodies, to serve Jesus Christ, just like Eddie has been called. First Baptist, you want to do that home. You or maybe you're struggling with that call, or struggling with anything. I'll be down front to pray for you. The altar is open. Our deacons will come and pray for you. Whatever decision you need to make today, let's make it today. Please stand as we sing our closing.
Christians serve. That's what we're calling this.